What were some of David's reactions to what was going on in the legislature when he was a member?
Oh boy, that's a long time ago, 49, 51, 53. I know that he was head of the Ways and Means Committee, and Tom McCall was his head man, was a hired man that helped him with that. And I remember how much he enjoyed working with him.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I'd kept a diary at that time. It's so long ago now.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's back, 60 years ago? Something
just about.
Like uh-huh. And
did you have specific duties as the wife of a legislator?
I was his secretary in the beginning. And there was a little controversy about that. But I remember somebody writing a letter in my behalf and saying, well, I graduated in business from Oregon State, and who would be more qualified? And that was nice to have that said about me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last year, I didn't go down because the children were getting so that I had to be here with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stayed home.
Now you have one son who certainly made a name in the legislature.
Yes, Raymond.
Were you aware that he was paying attention to what his father was doing and how he was reacting to being a legislator?
Well, you know, I don't know where his interest in politics started from, unless it could have been from that.
I would imagine that there was something in the House all the time.
Yeah.
References to the legislature and what it did,
yes.
And that
yes.
Anybody who had any predisposition at all to that kind of life would have been paying close attention.
Well, for instance, Governor Hatfield came to town and stayed with us for a weekend with his wife,
mm-hmm.
And the children were exposed to that.
Yes.
And then Governor McCall came once and stayed with us. He got sick while he was in town, probably stayed a little longer than he wanted to, but so they had this around them and these experiences. And one night I said to David, he was about 12 years old, I said, honey, you go up and get dressed, we're going to have dinner. Well, why do we have to get dressed? I said, the Hatfields are here. Hatfields? Well, why do we have to dress for them? That was David. A boy.
Yes.
He was comfortable in his jeans.
Right.
But anyway, they certainly did. Another man that came was Hatfield's administrative assistant, Warren Nunn is his name. He came with his wife and daughter and stayed with us a while. And it was there, I suppose, that he may have seen this and thought that he might enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went to Willamette Law School, he do they call it the president of the school or president of the class? There's some name for it that I'm not quite coming up with. But anyway, he took a very active part in the politics of Willamette Law School. And
this is David Jr.
This is Raymond.
Oh,
Raymond.
I see.
And he also worked for the Attorney General. And I think that he wanted to experience that. So, and back in when he was in college at BYU, in graduating, he took a summer session with Mark Hatfield. And went back to Washington, and then when he graduated from law school, I told him he should, if he wanted to go into politics, he should stay down where he could develop a political base. He said, Mother, I'm not going to stay down here where the traffic is so bad. I'm coming back up to Eastern Oregon where I can hunt and fish. And that's kind of the way both boys have felt.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to come back here where they could kayak and hunt and fish and float the Colorado River and enjoy
sure.
enjoy this type of life. And so he then had to establish his name was already here, born and reared in La Grande. He was known. The only place he wasn't known was over Milton Freewater. And we worked real hard over Milton Freewater. But he still lost there. But he won so big in La Grande that it offset his loss there. And he was running against a man by the name of, Leroy Childers. Was it Leroy Childers at that time? Or was it Buck Rogers? Anyway, he went down to the legislature with a good positive feeling about his election. And then he got elected the next time with eye problem. And the third time. And the fourth time. And then his family started growing up. And all of a sudden, he was missing all these things that people like to do with their families. And so he said, I can't go back down to the legislature. And of course, there were many people expressed disappointment. A few editorials that it wrote very nice, mm-hmm. disappointing about his retirement. But that's the type of guy he is. He spends a lot of time with his family. And he's got another son who's coming along, 12 years of age. And I don't think he'll be going into politics again, as long as his family is growing up.
From your perspective, what is it about the Republican Party that attracted the Baum men?
Ancestors.
A heritage of being Republicans, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. A lot. David's father was, my husband's father was a Republican. And my father was a strong Republican.
Did you hear them talk about why they believed in Republican Party policies?
Once in a while, you would. And then, you'd go out to the fairgrounds and you'd see all these reasons why you should be a Republican posted out in the booth at the fairgrounds. And they pretty much expressed their feelings on it.
Well,
and I think,
could you give me some examples of that the policies that they most strongly believed in?
I don't think I can. I'm sorry. I would have to research that. I've kept a lot of scrapbooks through the years, and I probably should have gone through some of these for this. Mm-hmm. But my children, after David's death, I kept a scrapbook for each one of them until just last year. And now I'm not doing it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's quite a chore. Mm-hmm. But at Christmas time, I presented everybody with at least one scrapbook and sometimes two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be lots in those scrapbooks about answers like this.
Right.
But
let's talk about David Sr.'s work in building a new Grand Ronde hospital. Why did he get involved in that? Did he have any personal reason for believing that the old hospital had seen its better days and needed to be replaced?
Well, he had a doctor, Fred Otten, and Dr. Bill Kubler, and Dr. Gilstrap. And these men felt that since the hospital was going to be condemned, that we better have a new hospital. And
you mean might be condemned or was for certain to be condemned?
It was for certain.
Really?
Uh-huh.
It couldn't be upgraded or remodeled?
No, it would have been too expensive. And Dr. Otten was kind of a very interesting man, and he had been having trouble doing some surgeries at the Catholic hospital that he wanted to do. And
yes.
And he got into quite a bit of trouble one time when he he knew a woman needed a certain surgical procedure, and the nuns would not let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he think the hospital St. Joseph's was good otherwise? Did he have any
yes.
comments about the quality of the equipment or the facilities in general?
He thought that it was, I think, up until he ran into this barricade, that everything was just fine. But when this happened, it convinced him that we still needed two hospitals,
right.
and that this hospital needed to be preserved. And there was also employment to think about. Didn't want to put people out of work. And I think at that time, they had 50 employees. Of course, that's nothing like what they've got now. I think it's close to 400.
Do you mean the old hospital had 50 employees?
Uh-huh.
Not St. Joseph's?
No. Yeah. No, the old Grand Ron Hospital. And there was a great deal of generosity there in helping Dave get this off the ground, because there were people in town that had the same vision he did. There was Spud Olson, and there was Avery Hickox, and many men like Tom, a man from Cole, Conklin, Mr. Conklin, and there was another man from, he got in, he's very fine gentleman who could be supportive both financially and other ways. And he had a board of probably about 10 men. And Lucille Lumsden was on that board. She was the secretary. She was a very intelligent lady. Had a lot of input on any time there was a project. She is the grandmother of Susan Lewis. And he formed this board in 62 at the doctor's request. And by 66, they had the first edition up in the hospital, 1966.
Do you recall how the location was determined?
Well, the thing he always said, he thought a hospital should be a place where they can look down and see the school children, see the wonderful life, and realize, I guess, that there was a lovely, instead of going up and being sick, that they could look out and see these healthy children, and seeing them playing in the playground. He liked that idea of being above the school. And
were any other locations considered, do you think?
Yes, uh-huh. There was another one, but he owned the property, and he didn't feel it was right for him to sell the property for that purpose. It would have been where the Mormon church is now. That would have been where it was. So, he went with this property, which was owned by Earl Miller, who had a dairy. And they bought it piece by piece as the place progressed. They bought enough to get the hospital up there, but then they started adding office buildings and things, you know.
Did they have options on the other pieces?
On other land?
Well, the other pieces that they would need in order to expand.
I don't know how that was, how that worked. I do know that Earl sold it to them as they needed it, and it was very lucrative for him.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been it was nice that they could have some of the finer things of life, because they'd been a struggling family.
How did this committee get the money together to buy the land and then to?
Well, they got.